This is the High Value Man Conversation Podcast, a show dedicated to the mission of building high value men. Men that are courageous, committed, and uncompromising in their pursuit of greatness.
You run the day and stop having the day run you.
Monday, get better. Tuesday, get better. Wednesday, get better.
Everybody's great when they're not tired. Champions is when they're tired. That's when the real champions come out.
The next day, get up, get up, get up, get up. Keep going.
Win it. I'm going to win.
You're not as far away from these dreams as you think you are.
One great man means a great family, a great neighborhood, a better city, community, state, and the world. The question is, if not you, then who?
The book of Revelation, there are the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the end of times. One of them is pestilence, famine, like just rot, decay, and death. And it is the end. It is the end of all good things is when these four horsemen show up. John Gottman also talked about the four horsemen of relationship destruction. Four things that show up that will predict the end of time, the apocalypse of your relationship. And we're going to be going over these four things because these four things are critical pieces of conflict resolution. If you avoid these four things, don't hit them face on, it is like welcoming one of the four horsemen of death into your relationship. And so you have to face this conflict with the right tools. Understand, recognize them, how it shows up for you and your partner. Work through them with fluidity so that they don't create the apocalypse in your relationship.
I love that. Can you go through each one of those?
Yeah. So John Gottman, an American psychologist, I'm going to read these so that I get them dialed in just right for you guys. But first one is criticism. And so the thing we're going to talk about today, too, is understanding the difference between criticism and complaint.
Very different.
And you guys talk about this a lot in your coaching, is that complaints are necessary in a relationship. They actually create closeness. But criticisms attack the character rather than complaining about the situation. Then there's defensiveness, which typically shows up in relation to a criticism. This is where there is just not a, there's a lack of responsibility being taken. The next level that, and the third horseman is stonewalling, where you're ignoring, you're disconnecting, you're completely just avoiding the conflict that's taking place. So we've got criticism, defensiveness, stonewalling. And the very last one, this is, as you say it, is the nail in the coffin, and that's contempt. This is where the meanness just starts coming out. Sarcasm, I think, is a version of contempt. But contempt is just where the bitterness, the resentment, all of it comes out towards your partner.
Yeah, where contempt shows up, that the individual that's been part of this can do no right by you.
Yeah.
Even like the way they eat their chicken.
Yes.
The way that they even tie their shoes. Like, this, there's something wrong with you. Like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
When that starts to show up, that's a clear picture of contempt. And contempt is very fluid on the scale of, you know, 1 to 10 as far as contempt. But if 1% of contempt shows up in a relationship, whether that's, again, business or romantic, that's often considered by research to be the nail in the coffin. Very hard to come back from.
Yeah. So again, criticism, defensiveness, stonewalling, and contempt. Recognizing these four horsemen in any of your relationships, romantic, personal, or business, is going to be the way that you actually preserve the relationship, because what they're actually showcasing is an opportunity to resolve conflict.
Yeah. No, that's great. What I want to do is talk about firefighting.
Okay.
There's so many times, and I just think back over the last 10 years, has been a really tremendous shift in my life and all these different areas of my life. But thinking back to my 30s and younger and just how I live life, especially from teens through my entire 20s, probably up to my 30, about 30 years old, is I lived life from crisis to crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally crisis to crisis, whether that was paycheck to paycheck, drink to drink, bar to bar, relationship to relationship.
Sure.
Everything was crisis to crisis. So I never thought beyond those. I just encountered moment to moment, and it was always firefighting.
Sure.
So as you can imagine, when you live that way, just conflict finds you.
Right. Well, because you're avoiding the real root cause problems, and you're just putting out the symptomatic fires.
Yeah, you're stomping out a fire here, stomping out a fire there, ignoring the blaze of the forest in front of you.
Yes.
Essentially. So, and firefighting is reactive communication. We want to hover this on communication, but it's reactive communication. And I love the idea of crisis to crisis, because on some form or variant, we can all think about a crisis in our life mm-hmm. where we either thought about it, maybe we didn't take the time to have the conversation, we didn't do the action or show up with great effort to make the thing happen. And we lived our life in our default lane over here. Before you know it, there's a full-on fight, fire, crisis, whatever you want to call it. And so at this point, we're having to react because we didn't do
the work
that was necessary prior to.
Yeah.
And it's very painful. It's very painful. Typically in these areas is where fear shows up, mm-hmm. both in you and the people around you. Hurts are created. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be residue of that, of hurts. And then typically just the way that people are is it's a reactive version of themselves versus a responsive version of themselves. So you're really getting the worst of yourself put out there, and you're experiencing the worst of other people mm-hmm. when you live a life that is reactive and firefighting. Very painful, but to picture in your head what that looks like, go back to those moments. And we use an NLP type scenario where go back to see what you saw, feel what you felt, hear what you heard, because every time we've lived a scenario like that, it's typically catastrophic.
Sure.
The pain that's involved in that, the ripple effect that's involved with that. Very painful. So firefighting, which is where defensiveness, stonewalling,
criticism
contempt. And contempt lead you to, is you end up experiencing life as a firefighter. Yeah. And there's no joy in that.
I imagine you guys have coached a lot of couples in the dynamic of how to have better communication. I think back in some of the tools that you have given me as I worked with you guys through relationship aspects, you know, when contempt shows up, when defensiveness shows up, stonewalling, like all those have to be nipped in the bud right away. Because what you're only doing when you're focusing on a coaching session is you're fighting just the fire in front of you, right? And so you're dealing with like the one problem rather than the feeling underneath. Like, oh, well, she said this or he said this or they didn't follow through with this, whatever it is. But you're just talking about the surface level stuff. And that's just the firefight that Josh is describing. The firefighting is only focusing on what is burning, rather than what is really underneath the surface, which is the feelings and the emotions and the real conflict that needs to be had.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not addressing the core issues by any means. It's always just the outcome.
Yeah.
The outcome of what the moment's created, again, how we feel, what so-and-so said or did, but really it doesn't go back. It all goes back to typically a few moments or a few scenarios
where conflict was avoided.
This we talked about this before in a previous show, is that conflict avoided is conflict allowed to mature.
Yeah.
So the longer amount of time that you allow to go on from a moment, the more it's we'll stick with the firefighting terminology, but the more it's
that's allowed to ways.
What was that old movie? Backdraft.
Uh-huh.
The more it's allowed to backdraft.
Such a good movie.
And so like the moment the door opens, it's just
like an explosion.
You're absolutely consumed. Where in the moment we had a spark, mm-hmm. if you take, even though it didn't feel good, but you had the opportunity, you showed up, you had the correct atmosphere, timing, and verbiage, and you took care of it, issue, you know,
disappears or it shrinks, right? And so the purpose of this conversation today is all around conflict resolution, healthy tools for it. Because if you don't resolve the conflict in your relationship, your romantic relationship or your business relationship, these four apocalyptic forces will show up in some level. You'll notice you're getting more critical or being more criticized, that there's a level of defensiveness. You can't get anything right. There's a stonewalling or avoidance technique that shows up in the relationship, or there's just a contempt for the other person's character. And so conflict resolution, conflict done healthily, creates deeper connection.
Yeah, it does. And we could probably have this conversation back and forth, Aaron, but I fall so hard on this sword of that true connection is made through conflict.
Yeah.
I'm not saying go out and punch someone in the face just so you can make a friend. Probably not going to happen that way.
No, that...
But if you have a friend, you should test it. Let's go. But I have noticed in the closest relationships in my life, they're as close and as valuable to me that they are because of the amount of conflict that we walk through together.
100%.
So I don't say keep your eyes open for conflict as far as that goes and embrace it.
Embrace it. Have thick skin with it and recognize that conflict. When someone is willing to have conflict with you, there's typically a reason for it. They typically care about the relationship. And so being able to step into that with the right tools, which we're going to talk over here in just a second, but recognize that conflict will create deeper closeness. The avoidance of conflict, just as Josh said, will create an amplification of the destruction.
Side note, and some folks are going to laugh out of this, and I'm sure you will too, because we've talked about it, but I've got a birthday coming up that's a big one for me next year, and my request for that birthday has been my 12 closest guy friends to take me into a storage container with a single light bulb and basically be 12 on one. And that is a type of physical conflict.
I wasn't aware of this.
Well, you're invited. Because conflict really does create the opportunity for closeness,
sure,
and brotherhood that can be met with that. So put that on your calendar. Next January is a big one for me. I've asked Garrett, I've asked Nick, I've asked several people to make this happen for me. So we'll do that. We'll grow closer together.
Okay, cool. I like violence. Bring violence back. Make violence great again.
Yeah, indeed.
One of the first apocalyptic forces inside of the Four Horsemen is criticism. Now, criticism, I believe, for most people, starts out with a request. Criticism is a request gone bad. And so understanding the difference between how a criticism and a complaint show up inside of a dynamic of communication is really your first tool to be able to create closeness rather than additional confrontation. Mm-hmm. So I know you guys do a good job breaking this down inside of your same team coaching, but what's the difference between a criticism and then a complaint?
Yeah, well, and how you onboarded that was really great. We use different verbiage called bids. So we make bids in relationship, whether it's in the marketplace or home, whether it's a bid to connect or a bid to understand. And the fact that that oftentimes if those aren't met, then of course little buds of criticism can be born in that. But the big difference between complaints and criticism is a complaint is circumstantial. Mm. It's circumstantial. It's about that moment. Where a criticism is character-based.
You always.
It's you, yes, for sure. So like a complaint in my house would be like my sweet wife had dinner and threw her dish in the sink and didn't wash it out. Mm. So a complaint would be, honey, like, listen, it would mean a lot to me if you would spray your bowl out so that I don't feel like I have to go and scrub this thing. Because we all know how noodles stick to the side of the bowl if you don't wash them off.
Yeah.
You got to break out the SOS pad.
Yeah.
And so that's a complaint. Uh-huh. It's about the thing versus a criticism.
You always leave a mess.
You don't care about me.
Yeah.
You're selfish. All you care about is you. Like you ate, you put it in there because honestly, you could give a shit about me. Mm. And I'm glad I mean nothing to you. Let me just go over there and be, you know, your little cleaning boy. Have a good night. Go take a bubble bath. So it's all about the character of individuals.
Sure.
You suck, basically. And it's really tough to come back from that when your spirit goes that way. So we have to, whether in relationships or business or with our kids, we have to make space for complaints.
Sure.
Complaints are an opportunity to link up, to be in unity with one another, to share things that are important and valuable. Mm-hmm. It's when criticisms show up, we start to realize we're taking character swings. That's a criticism, and those are no-goes. No goes on criticisms, but make room for complaints.
I love that. This is a self-awareness tool that you're going to have to work on as a man. Because I think that one area that I know that I lean into, I don't want to project on you, but I know that I lean into is my coaching dynamic. From the coaching dynamic, there is the ability to speak forcefully to somebody from the standpoint of like, I need to get a point across because you think about in sport, right? You look at sidelines, the Super Bowl is just this past weekend. The coaches are delivering what may feel like a criticism, but it's a urgent message in the time of urgency. So like, I need to get this point across right now. And there's not going to be always like the best opportunity and atmosphere and love a dub behind it because I just need to get the point across.
Yeah.
And so the way that that dynamic has been an area that I'm growing in the most because I put my coaching hat a lot. Coaching is easy for me. When I think about it, like, man, I just need to get this message. It also turns into what can be a disconnect in a relationship. I'm still learning a lot on that. But from the standpoint, I think of a recent incident. I fired a client recently. And in this firing of the clients, there were feelings involved because the relationship was breached. There was things not met on his side. And I had an opportunity to complain or criticize. And I thought about this for a minute. I was like, what is going to leave a more lasting impression? And I chose to go down the criticism route that was much more focused on character development versus the situation and, you know, the defensiveness. I mean, this is the four horsemen showing up in this ending of the relationship. The defensiveness in this is that I know for a fact that how you do anything is how you do everything. And so if I left this stone unturned and just complained about the one situation showed up without really linking the points from the standpoint that more than likely how you're showing up in this coaching relationship is how you're showing up in your other dynamics. Yeah. And so, from that, the relationship ended and I'm okay with it. Because at the end of the day, I'm here to serve men. And I believe that the message behind that was more powerful than just complaining about the circumstantial situation.
Yeah, well, there are unique scenarios where men need the truth.
Yeah.
And I think you chose to deliver something that didn't feel good for the simple fact of it's good for this man to know the truth. And I think also behind that is a love. Like, the only reason I'm doing this, the only reason I'm saying this, the only reason I'm willing to go there with you is because I care about you.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to care about you as much as I'm going to care about you, well, I'm at least going to leave you with something you can walk away with.
And it stinks and hurts. And I also, I think about the mentors in my life that have had very direct critical attacks on my character. Things that I have done and just acting like a knucklehead. I needed that. I needed that voice, that fatherly voice, that disciplinary voice to let me know that what I was doing, not only the situation, the behavior, the act was wrong, but how my character was showing up. I needed that like direct, sharp criticism in order for me to grow. And I think that that's in the area where the world of men, the rules are slightly different than in your romantic relationship.
Yeah.
I know wholeheartedly, I can't put a coaching hat on in any frame whatsoever inside of a romantic relationship. It doesn't work. Coaching inside a romantic relationship does not work. And so what works at work will not work with your woman.
That's wise.
Yeah.
Nothing else to add to that. That's pretty wise.
Lesson learned the hard way on that.
Yeah. So that's a great story, Aaron, of a conflict resolution that maybe wasn't handled so well, even though it was potentially what the person needed to have.
Sure.
On the flip side of that, not to be the flip side of you, but the flip side of that, is I had an interaction with a man just about a week and a half ago. A subcontractor who we owed money to, and the individual called me, and literally from the moment I picked up, went on a 5-minute emotional flooded rant, yelling, cussing, really laying into my character, just completely just going off the rails. For I say 5 minutes, probably 4 minutes and 45 seconds is really how long this was. And I sat there just taking it. And I honestly, I don't want to get, for the sake of his name, we'll call him Charlie. As he got towards the end, and I thought it was towards the end because typically in conversation, in a monologue, there's a little gap before someone's taking a breath. And so I said, Charlie, are you done? Charlie, are you? And so I kept saying this because I thought he was finishing up this rant. And at one point, he yelled at me, he goes, don't you call me Charlie. And I said, well, Charlie, that's your name. What else am I supposed to call you? And that he cussed me a few times about that. But just, you don't know who I am. And I said, listen, are you finished? I want to make sure you got out what you needed to say so I can tell you what I need to tell you. Can I tell you what I need to say? I asked him permission. Can I tell you what I need to tell you? He said, yes. I said, great. So it's Tuesday. I have a payment going out to you Thursday. I wanted you to know that. And he was like, I mean, he just spent 5 minutes going off into that.
Sure.
But that conversation ended pretty quickly after that. I said, hey, listen, I'll let you know when that's been processed so you know you're going to have it. Great. He ends up calling me, I think it was Friday or Saturday of the same week, just in a complete, just wanted to apologize for showing up being complete ass.
Because it was. Diarrhea all over.
Just completely did.
Yeah.
And apologized to me. Lo and behold, he actually leads a group of people. And wanted to share our interaction of the difference of being led by the flesh versus being led by the spirit. So what he got out of that is he was in a complete emotionally flooded state, which I also knew.
Yeah.
But because I set the atmosphere for our conversation, how I showed up didn't change at all. My tone was always the same. Is he was actually able to reset himself and utilize our conversation as a teaching tool. So it's another picture of what equanimity, but even just conflict resolution can look like, is even though it doesn't feel like the problem itself was resolved, he was getting his payment. But just how I showed up in the moment helped him resolve the problem within himself.
Sure. Yeah. And that's the, I think that's the ultimate goal is to be able to remain emotionally grounded no matter what conflict is coming your way. So conflict resolution, you can't have two people in the height of emotional flooding or in conflict. Otherwise, you're going to get the four horsemen. You're going to get the four horsemen where it's like, okay, I'm going to be now contemptuous and critical and defensiveness and stonewalling. It just turns into the both of you guys are equipped with the negative force, the four horsemen, versus one person choosing to be emotionally more mature and just say, you know what, I'm going to let you go and just vent it all out. And it actually resolves the conflict by A, taking control of the atmosphere, your tone, your pitch, your cadence, the words that you're using, and de-escalating that person's nervous system, essentially.
No, and I love that. It doesn't expose the fact that I'm emotionless. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I suppressed how I felt. What I didn't give this gentleman is I didn't give him the power to trigger me.
That's good.
And so this can happen so frequently in men is that somebody will say something or do sure. something and that creates this reaction in us. And that's yeah. really what he wanted. He exposed me later that like he's in a personal financial bind. He was having issues in his home. Mm. And one of his children are sick. And I just happened to get the phone call.
Sure.
Shocking to work out that way.
Yeah.
But what happened in the moment, the reason it was able to reach the resolve that it reached is because I didn't give him the opportunity to trigger me.
That's good. I'd see a feature episode talking about triggers. I hate that word, but it's true. Like that is a popular word. Because of people's low emotional equanimity, there's a high level emotional reactivity. And so most of us are walking around with some form of trigger just waiting to happen. Parking lots, traffic, you know, someone says something, but job doesn't go the way you want. And so you're living in this triggered state where you're just creating more conflict.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to do that.
Okay, so we've talked about the four horsemen.
Let's do some tools.
So we've talked about the worst case. Like, how do you resolve this? You know, the complaint versus criticism. We discussed that complaints are healthy. And imagine the listeners can fall back on the previous episode where we talked about actually how you communicate in a healthy place. One is going to be the environment.
Yeah. So atmosphere.
Yeah.
And timing.
Atmosphere, timing.
Delivery.
Love that. So if you're going to deliver a complaint, like, and you want to create this closeness, first and foremost, you got to cover those communication foundations.
Yes, for sure. This is phase two. When there's conflict arising, we literally have three options of how we show up in the moment.
Okay.
You want these to be responsive, not reactive. Remember, if you're reactive in a moment, then you're firefighting.
Sure.
Period. There's no third direction or no second direction. But if you're going to respond to a circumstance or a scenario, then here's your three options. You have the option to turn towards the individual. And if you guys are only listening to my voice, I'm turning towards Aaron. We're facing each other. So you have the option towards. You have the option to turn against, which is really I'm putting up my fists. I'm getting ready to verbally or even physically go against you.
Yeah.
That's turning against or turning away, which we talked about earlier is stonewalling, defensiveness. These are some of the areas that turning away is. We physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually turn away from to get away from the scenario. So you have three options when responding to any given problem or conflict. Mm-hmm. Turn towards, which is unifying.
Yeah.
Turn against, which is just fighting. Or turn away, which is retreating. So this is, again, in parenting, in marketplace, in your romantic relationships, those are the three ways you can respond to any given conflict.
I love that. And in that response, go back and listen to the previous episode on communication. Once you turn towards that person, then your goal is to make sure that's the right environment, atmosphere, that's the right time,
yes,
and that your body language, tone, cadence, and the words that you're using are all chosen with intent.
Yes.
Yeah. So good. So after the turning towards, like that becomes a critical piece. So let's just say in the conflict's so heated, I'm emotionally flooded and charged. Like I just need a little bit of space, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. We certainly need to take space and time, but I need to get some counsel. And so I think that there's probably healthy counsel and very unhealthy counsel in conflict resolution, where if you're going to gossip, case build, or to connect with somebody that A, doesn't have what you want in a relationship, and you're going just to vent and complain, that's not healthy counsel, because that's actually putting more poison inside of the relationship dynamic, versus having a healthy person in your life, a relationship coach, a team to go to, a pastor to go to, someone that is neutral in the space that will actually give you the healthy feedback that you need to hear.
Yeah, that's so true. I would say, Aaron, this is my opinion because it's not factual, just my experience, is the reason why most people don't see counseling through or don't see coaching through.
So good.
Is they reach out to an individual like that.
Yeah.
Because they want to be justified.
Yeah.
This is what happened to me.
Yeah.
This is what this person did.
Yeah.
This is how I'm reacting to that person.
Let's go.
Now tell me I'm right.
Yeah. And a good coach will fire you if you're being an asshole.
For sure.
100%.
Sure.
Because they will not maintain a relationship with someone that is not living in integrity. Like, and that's a good coach, a good counselor, a good person in your life where you want to seek advice from. You want the level of neutrality and direct feedback where you can actually grow in the relationship, not stay stuck.
And again, this fear of people, of who people naturally turn to is in the midst of difficulty, conflict, whatever it is, can often turn to a parent, a mother or father.
Yeah.
Can often turn to maybe a brother or sister, a sibling. Sure.
You're better off without that person.
Potentially a neighbor,
yeah.
Someone you went to college with. And again, we turn to those people, generally speaking, so that we can be justified in how we're reacting.
Yeah.
Versus someone that we're talking about here. You got to know who you're seeking counsel towards.
Yeah. Right? And I think the biggest thing is, do they have the fruit that you want?
So the whole point of counsel, anyway, think of the Fortune 150s of the world,
mm-hmm.
is not to like pat me on my back, tell me I'm doing things right. No. Tell me my blind spots.
Yeah,
show me where I'm not seeing. Give me a reason to not make this business deal. Because mm-hmm. if you can't, then I'm going to do it. That type of thinking. So again, we've got to discover that the people we turn towards, the people that we're leaning on when moments matter the most, is got to be people that we know are going to speak life over us.
Yeah.
That are going to challenge our thinking. That's going to say, you know what? You got to own your part of this.
Yeah.
Quit being focused on what he or she did.
Yeah.
Be focused on what you can change and change yourself. And by the way, go home. Don't go to the bar. Don't bust open a beer. Mm. Take your tail and go own what you can be responsible for. So counsel is such a big deal.
I love that. So we've got turn towards, have a good, healthy counsel. These are the tools to improve your conflict resolution. So you don't just stay in the firefighting mode. And what I really hear, the kind of space for this is proactive communication.
Yeah.
Like you're being proactive. You're not letting things fester. You're not letting them turn into an area of neglect that's going to create indifference or contempt or stonewalling, because you're actually facing the conflict right on.
Yeah. And the other, so you mentioned the one turning against is this a hill that you want to die on?
Oh, so good.
Is this really?
Sometimes it feels like
this. Is this the sword you want to fall on? Is it mean that much to you right now?
Yeah.
Write in your notes. Visit it in a few hours, see if it still means that much to you.
Yeah, and have a safe place that you can just let that out with other men,
yes.
too. So if you're talking romantic relationship, like have a place where you get to let out the fury, like towards whatever dynamic is coming up in a safe place and container, because guys will get it.
Right.
You know, guys will get it, and they'll be able to say, all right, cool, do you feel better? I do, thank you. And then it'll be that's it, because we understand the chaos going inside our brain. But if you bring that into the relationship dynamic and let that vomitous energy out, it just creates so much destruction you can't repair.
Yeah, which we actually have going on right now within our HVM community. Shameless plug, talk about that.
The safe place for guys to talk about?
Yeah.
100%. So, you know, one of the formats that we do is not only share the wins, but we have a vice dump. And a part of the vice dump is anger, frustration, irritation, anger, whatever it is that you're walking through, is be able to have a container and have a guy to be able to hold space for that. At the end of the day, and this is probably one of the biggest issues that we're seeing in our country and our society right now, so many guys are the lone wolves. They're isolated, they're alone, they're suffering in silence. They're not understanding why they're not getting their needs met with their woman at work or inside the world. It's because they're not spending time with healthy men. And if your only relationship is your partner, your spouse, your significant other, your wife, your woman, your girlfriend, she's the only person, she's getting the best and the worst of you, because you're not actually getting other men to help correct and recalibrate. She can't be your closest confidant and your lover at the same time. And so having a place to be able to be a man and actually get some counsel is essential to you becoming the man.
That's it. And that's the place to do it.
Yeah.
100%. That's the place to do it. And then the last one, again, turning away from is really just fleeing.
Mm.
Just suppression, repression. I don't know how to say what I need to say. I shouldn't feel this way. Maybe I'm just being a big daisy here, or whatever you want to call yourself.
Bringing the word back.
Whatever. and so my question to you is, like, how's that working out for you?
Yeah.
You know, if you're always in retreat, how's it working out for you?
Yeah.
You've got to be aware of these three opportunities and start to train yourself to turn towards those scenarios. Go face to face with it. Have the communication that you need to have and have it sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Again, conflict with given time is conflict allowed to mature.
Conflict ignored is conflict amplified.
Yes. And it will backdraft on you. By the way, go see that movie. It's been a while.
Great movie. That's a good 90s reference.
I think. Maybe even older.
Maybe 80s. Yeah. Okay. So I want to recap some of these tools because this was a great episode with a lot of meat in it. So we talked about the four horsemen. One thing that if you recognize any of these four horsemen in your relationship, there are some antidotes to them. So if you've got criticism showing up, there is a tool that you guys have actually talked about, but it's the gentle startup.
Yeah.
And so rather than criticizing, recognize, okay, I need to complain about something, but I need to gently warm up the situation. And so I'm going to come in easy. I'm coming in kind of cool start rather than hot, coming out of the gate with your guns blazing. Like, that's not a gentle startup. That's where criticism really turns into impact.
You want to do something really difficult? Jump on a treadmill when it's set at 18 as a speed.
Great example.
False. You want to start at a 2, work your way up to a 3, a 4, get to an 8, then work your way up to a sprint. Conversation is the same way. Gentle startup.
I love that. If defensiveness is showing up in your relationship dynamic, and first place to talk about this is don't point the finger at your partner, because if it's showing up in your partner, it's also showing up in you. Like, your relationship is a mirror. So anything that you can point out of them, guess what? It's showing up in you as well. And so if defensiveness is showing up, take responsibility. That's the antidote for this horseman of defensiveness. Take responsibility, ownership, and responsibility.
Yeah, that's big. Mm-hmm. What you're willing to own, you're willing to change.
Love that. Stonewalling. So stonewalling is the ignoring, the avoidance. Left untreated, this turns into a feeling of neglect between you and your partner. But there is, I think there's a healthy mechanic on this where you need to self-soothe. And so there might be a need for a timeout, but to give your time out a time frame. And this is something I learned from you guys. Cool. We have a little bit of conflict. We need time to de-escalate, relax the nervous system. I need to come back to this in an hour. And this is a literal, not an inferential. We're going to come back to this later, but we're going to come back to this and have a conversation in an hour, max 24 hours, because we need to de-escalate and calm down a little bit.
Yes. Timeouts are allowed when you have a strategic time in.
Yes.
Period.
Yeah.
And it's up to you to honor that. So especially if you're married or in a relationship and you ask for a timeout, do not make your spouse come back at the time in. Time and say, are we going to talk about this now?
Right.
No, it's your responsibility. Don't be a bitch. If you put it on the calendar, if you ask for the time off, then you better be the one that says, okay, now I'm ready to re-engage. I've collected my thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to lead this conversation. That is a picture of true masculine leadership. Own your stuff.
It's good. And the last piece, contempt. As contempt shows up, the way and your antidote for contempt is appreciation. And so finding things to be grateful, thankful for, creating a love list that you don't even have to give to your partner, but finding 3, 4, 5 things throughout the day that you're grateful for. What's the tool that you guys, sachet?
Sachet. Yeah, so sachet is a check-in.
Okay.
So we would actually use this. You can sachet any time of day. Again, this is your atmosphere and your timing. This is a lot where this comes from.
Yeah.
We would sachet at nighttime right before we ate. We'd sit down with our dinner, and as we're eating, we would do a sachet. So sachet is just a check-in. Stands for sad, angry, silly, happy, excited, tender.
Okay.
So sachet, S-A-S-H-E-T. You can go back and replay this for those breakdowns. But we're just a check-in. Hey, listen. Today, I'm checking in. I just want you to know that I felt sad that when I got home, you weren't here. But then you also decided to make us dinner, which you haven't done in a while. I feel very tender towards you because you chose to do that. This is really tasty. Boom. It's a check-in. Men in general are not great at exposing emotions. You want to have a great relationship with your spouse. You want to have a great relationship with your partner, with your children. You want a great sex life.
Amen.
Then exposing our emotions need to become more fluid in our lives. I love iPhone for this reason. I hate iPhone for this reason. And I'm sure it's on Android too. But we've got these great emojis. Uh-huh. And we like to communicate with emoji. So we'll show an emoji without actually expressing what that meant to us.
Sure.
Sachet is a great opportunity to verbally be in proximity.
I love that.
So presence, take this down. I don't mean to sidetrack this, but we will. That presence does not just mean proximity. Just because we're next to each other doesn't mean I'm being present. Present means yes, we're next to each other, but also I'm looking at you. Mm-hmm. You've got my attention, my eyes.
I'm not on my phone.
Yeah. And now I'm going to verbally express something to you that's meaningful to me, and I know it's meaningful to you too, to sashay and check in.
I love that. So we're a little bit off topic on that because that wasn't too well thinking of, but I love it, is that as you are creating your way, your antidote for contempt, so if contempt is showing up in the relationship, appreciation, admiration for your partner
is an
essential way. And so creating a list of like three things you're grateful for, grateful for about your partner is such a good tool to get you in the mindset of working through whatever other feelings are coming up.
Nobody forced you in that relationship. Wherever you are, if there's contempt, at some point you are nuts about that person.
100%. Yeah.
Go back to those moments and remember why you were nuts about that person. I bet you they haven't changed. You've just decided not to see it anymore.
So good. That stings. I like that. It's good. All right. So we've got the antidote for the four horsemen. You want to focus on proactive communication. You want to really focus on the understanding that there can be complaints, but to have a proper complaint, you need to create the environment for healthy communication first and foremost. Have good counsel to be able to turn to as the relationship is going to be really a reflection of the input that you're getting for your relationship. So have the men, have the groups you're part of, have the counselors, the coaches, the therapists, whatever that looks like inside of your life, so you're getting good wisdom. I think the last piece that I want to land on is that to resolve conflict, you need to connect first. Right. So there'd be any type of correction, behavioral correction, whether it be with your kids, with your partner, with your spouse, with your business, with your employees, especially, there needs to be a feeling of connection before the correction.
Yeah. Here's a great jab for you. So take your mask off so I can hit everyone who's listening. That correction without connection is nothing more than abuse.
Ooh.
Correction without connection is nothing more than abuse. And I know that comes across very strong. But if I'm going to, and again, this is whether with their children or their spouse, and I challenge you, tread lightly with the word correction with your spouse or your romantic partner. It's not your job to correct them.
Sure.
It is your job to lead them. But the only way to lead is for them to know that you care deeply about them, which requires a connection.
Sure.
Now, with our children, most of you out there will have children or you were children at some point in your life. Is that if you're going to correct your children, do it in a way where you've connected with them first, whether that's eyeball to eyeball, try to understand what they were thinking, be with them as you're correcting them. If it's always just do this or don't do that, it's literally a type of emotional abuse because they don't understand. Help them understand. But to stay on the relationship side is, again, if you're ever going to correct, again, tread on that lightly.
I think the word is, can create a little sensitivity around it, but a goal of a correction is just to change trajectory, right? And so any type of a micro correction while we're driving, like a small micro movement, can change the trajectory of a car or a plane. And so all we're doing is we're correcting the trajectory of the relationship. And so there's going to be natural in every relationship, I need to correct the direction. And this is not necessarily I need to correct you or your character. Remember the difference between criticism and complaint. But we're making a complaint so that we can correct the trajectory that we're both agreeing that we're walking on.
I agree with that. Yeah, that's good.
That's good. Okay. So quick recap on this. Avoiding conflict, neglecting to have conflict, and the absence of conflict is actually the foundation and the breeding ground for the four horsemen of your apocalyptic end of your relationship.
Yes.
Fire, destruction, contempt, anger, criticism, resentment, all the negative things that you don't want to happen or show up in your relationship happen because we avoid conflict.
That's true. And then walking through our points of allowing complaints to be involved in how you do your life, in the marketplace and in your relationship, in your house and with your children. Complaints, make space for them. Be aware of criticisms. No character jabs. Mm-hmm. Stay away from those. Then also, as far as tools go, we want to remember that we have three ways that we can respond. That's turning towards, turning against, or turning away. Only one of those will serve you. Turning towards. Mm-hmm. So being aware of those. And then also being hyper aware of where your counsel is coming from. Mm-hmm. Choose counsel that points you in the direction that you want to grow. Do not choose counsel that's going to pat you on your back and tell you that, you know, what you're doing is wonderful. Probably not going to work out well for you.
Sure.
That's why you need a coach in your life and you need a community around you that's going to challenge your thinking.
Okay.
And then be proactive in your communication. Proactive means being proactive. We don't want to firefight. We want to make sure that if we have a thought, something's coming up, we actually turn our attention towards it and give massive effort to have that communication and do it safely.
I love that. Boom. If this episode was helpful to serve you in your conflict resolution and communication skills, do us a favor. Leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a comment. Share this with a friend. Tag someone that needs to hear this. It's the most gentle, loving way to even resolve conflict inside of your relationships. It's just give them this episode.
Tag your spouse.
Yeah, tag your spouse. Yeah. I want you to watch
this. Tag your mother. Yeah.
But no, this, you guys, if this served you, do us a big favor too and share with someone else out there in the world. And then DM us, message us, let us know what kind of content you'd like to see moving forward. And as always, much love, many blessings, and we'll talk to you soon.
Next time.
Boom.
Off the podcast, get back to the fucking mental lab.